Joshua chapter 6, verse number 8. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed him. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with their trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. The second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that is that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise yourselves from the accursed, and ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of the Lord, of camp of Israel, a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You can defeat your satanic strongholds. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, I go back in my mind, and I'm being brought to by your Holy Spirit and by way of remembrance some real stopping places in my Christian life. There were times, dear God, where it seems like that my growth was unhindered and strides were taken, and then, Lord, there seemed to be those valleys that I just kind of got stuck in, those walled cities I couldn't seem to get past. And, Lord, thank you that you taught me through the years, through the preaching of the Bible, through the counsel of godly men, and, Lord, through the help of your Holy Spirit, you've given me, dear God, now the remembrances of many Jerichos. And there's, Lord, those memories of walled cities that I could not have gotten past, but Lord, with your help, you got me past them. And so, Lord, we have new Christians here, and some of them are coming upon some of the first of their Jerichos. And we also have, Lord, grizzled veteran saints of God, and they've seen some, but perhaps the one they're facing now seems larger and looms larger than any up to this point in their life. We all need help here. So I pray, Lord, that you'll use this portion of Scripture, dear God, this wonderful Bible story to help us to activate these principles, put them in place in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to take you back to chapter 15 and the last few verses of chapter number 15, because if I'm going to give you a formula here, if I'm going to show you how you can defeat a satanic stronghold in your life, then we have to start where we need to start. But because before the walls ever fell, in Joshua chapter number 6, there had to be a supernatural encounter in Joshua chapter number 15. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, 'Art thou for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, 'What saith my Lord unto his servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, 'Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so, period. End of at least what we know transpired from that moment on, because some things, folks, have to happen privately between a man and God or a woman and God. But we got to see them meet, and we got to see Joshua have this supernatural encounter. And if you're going to defeat satanic strongholds in your life, let me just go on record, first of all, by saying this: you will not do it without that unseen captain. I watch people try to live their lives without the involvement of God, no faith in God, no trust in God. And then they run into wall after wall after wall, and they bang their head against it. God did not create you to, in your human strength and power, overcome satanic strongholds in your life. You know what those things should show us? We need to go find the unseen captain. We're talking about salvation. Let's start with that, all right? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you this: Jesus loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? Jesus wants to, first of all, save you. But we don't just see salvation in this portion of Scripture. We see dedication, because here we see a man that meets this captain, and he falls on his face to the earth and did worship him. Folks, it's one thing to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I hope you're saved today. But at some point, either simultaneously with that moment or soon after, you must realize that there is a God in heaven. And you know what? His ways are far above our ways. His thoughts far above our thoughts. He's to sit on the throne. We're to be on our face worshiping the one that sits upon the throne. So are you saved? Have you dedicated your life to the Lord? Have you bowed your knee to him? Are you trying to wrestle the throne away from your heavenly Father? Because if you are, good luck with your Jerichos. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this supernatural encounter that had to happen before he was going to leave and go down and lead a people against a satanic stronghold. I'm not talking about just dedication. I'm talking about service. Notice what he said after he falls on his face and worships. He says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Unto his servant. Are you seeing this? We're talking about salvation, receiving Christ as Savior. Dedication, where we recognize God as who he is. He alone deserves the throne of my life. And then a servant's attitude. Lord, I'm just here. What do you want me to do? What do you need for me to do? And then we cannot bypass this matter of sanctification or holiness. In verse number 15, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy." I read a quote from Spurgeon this week, and I thought, boy, how true it is. He said this: if you want to be popular, preach on happiness. If you want to be hated, preach on holiness. And folks, I found out more and more that's true in America today. People are looking for somewhere where they're going to hear happy things, but they're not much interested in going anywhere to hear about holy things. But I promise you, this is true. Well, I'm a child of God. I don't understand why I can't overcome these strongholds. Well, I'm glad that you're saved. I'm glad you had that salvation encounter with the unseen captain. But you know what? You're in no position yet to take on a stronghold. Have you worshiped him? Do you understand he's the king of your life? Preacher, I'm willing to surrender to that this morning. Maybe I've never done it in my heart. Maybe I've never done it consciously. But right now in my heart, I want God to know that, yes, you're God. I'm not God. You're God. You're the king. I'm not the king. Do you have a servant's heart, a servant's attitude where, Lord, it's not about what I want. It's not about what I want to do. It's about what you need me to do. And then have you gone on over to this point where, you know what, isn't it interesting, take off thy shoes from off thy feet. And folks, listen to me, if we're going to get right with God and we're going to get to the place where we measure up to the holiness of God, there's some things we're going to have to put off from us. And people can throw rocks at this matter of separation and old-fashioned holiness and separated living, but all I know is this: the same people that are throwing rocks on it are still not getting past the satanic strongholds in their life. God did not save us so that we could spend the rest of our life being worldly. God saved us to separate us for himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so first it has to start with the unseen captain. Man, I don't want to rush past that. Have you met Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If you're not, then you're trying to take on things that's no match for you. You know what? Let the big, strong, burly, coal miner, lost man out there point at the church and say, it's just a crutch. But you know who's pointing at the church saying that? A cripple that can't get past the strongholds of their life. I'll tell you what, if you aren't humble enough to realize that you can't live this life without God, then you're in no position to be saved. And I pray that God will, I mean this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to pray. If some people listen to the radio, a week from now this will be on there. If you're listening to it, I pray God will bring something into your life that will humble you enough to realize how much you need God. Because we can't do this without Him. Number one, surrender your life to the unseen captain. Number two, look at verse number one, lay siege to the satanic stronghold. Now this is interesting. Aren't you glad the Bible just, man, if we take our time and lay it out, all right, preacher, there's this stronghold, this besetting sin or this circumstance, or maybe there's something. I just can't get past it. I can't get around it. I can't get over it. How do you beat a Jericho? Number one, or number two, lay siege to the satanic stronghold. Look at verse one. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now this is called a siege. All right. You know what the children of Israel did? They said, if we're going to win this battle, then we can't not be letting them constantly be resupplied. We can't allow them to send messengers out to get help, and we can't allow supplies to go in. It's called a siege. You know what that means? You surround the stronghold, and you cut off everything that's strengthening it, everything that's empowering it. Now, please listen to this, folks, because this is where so many people struggle. A lot of times a Christian will get frustrated. Preacher, I can't get past this sin, or I can't get victory over this sin. You know, I told you the story a few times about when I was just a Bible college student and I'd be visiting inner city Chicago, and I'd go down this one street, Holman Street, and for several weeks in a row, there was a man there that was an alcoholic. He was a drunkard. And by the way, I'm not ashamed to use that word. That's the Bible word, a drunkard. And you know what? He was given over to the influence of that satanic brew. Man alive, young people, don't ever let it touch your lips, all right? And it got in power in his life, and it would become a demonic stronghold in his life, and he'd be out drinking every Friday night. Here I come Saturday morning, and he'd be out there still involved in a hangover and half drunk, and he'd see me come, and he'd start crying. And he knew I was a preacher. He knew that I was from the church, and he'd come over, and he'd say, please pray for me, please pray for me. Please pray that I get victory over this booze. Please pray for me. And I'd stop and pray for him, you know. And he'd cry on my shoulder a while, and he'd go back to his apartment. And I mean, he did that week after week after week. And after a while, he came out there one day. And I mean, this is the sixth, seventh week that he's waiting for me. And so I prayed with him. And after he got done, I grabbed his arm. I said, do you really, really want victory over this? Yes, I do. I said, let me go to your apartment with you. Let's go. And I walked into his apartment and walked over to the refrigerator, and I started taking out bottles of booze and beer cans, and I began to open them and pour them down the sink. And man, all of a sudden, he sobered up real quick, real quick. All of a sudden, he started grabbing things out of my hand and fighting me for them. And I said, wait a minute. He would stop me every morning for 6 days. You want me to pray for you? You keep saying, I want to be delivered from this. But I come into your apartment and open it up, and guess what you've got in your refrigerator? Now, folks, that may seem very obvious and very foolish to us. Here's a man that says he wants to be free of booze, but he keeps feeding it. He keeps going out and buying it. He keeps stocking his refrigerator. How come it's so easy for us to see that when it comes to booze, but we can't see it when it comes to bitterness? Preacher, I just got this stronghold in my life, and I just can't get past this circumstance. I just can't get past this bitterness. And yet, you go on social media, and you read stuff that feeds the bitterness. Okay, excuse me, you're no different than the alcoholic that's got booze in their refrigerator. Okay. All right, preacher, I got a problem with pornography, and I can't get past it, and yet you walk around with a cell phone that gives you access to it any second of any day, and you know it's a stronghold in your life. You need to lay siege to it. Okay? Same time in my life, I'm on the night bus, and there's a man that was riding the night bus, him and his dear wife, Mary, I forget his name, and he'd raise his hand every Sunday night on the way back from church. We'd go pick up the people in inner Chicago on the bus, take them to night church, and then bring them back afterwards. And we'd have prayer request time. He'd say, Preacher, he'd say, Brother Jerry, please pray, Lord, to deliver me from cigarettes. Please pray, Lord, to deliver me from cigarettes. Please pray, Lord, to deliver. I mean, folks, week after week after week. Every time I'd take his prayer request and I'd point down and look at him, he'd have a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. Okay. So after he did it about five or six times, Brother Jerry, please pray that the Lord will not. I reached in his pocket, grabbed the things, ripped them up, threw them in the trash can, said, no need to pray for the Lord. I just took care of it for you. No, you folks, listen, okay, you know, come to me. I'll pray with you, and I'll pray for you. But a lot of times, we've got to make up our mind about something. Do we really want to be delivered from this? Because if you want to be to Jericho, then you surround it. Okay, I think it says here in Romans chapter number 13, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe, for the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Here it is. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Folks, if I know that I need to lose 15 pounds, it's probably not a good idea to go to Walmart and stockpile on Hostess treats. That's called making provision for the flesh. And I don't care what it is in your life, whatever your stronghold is, the very stronghold that's frustrating you, could I just ask you to open your heart to the Spirit of God and ask an honest question? The very thing I say that I want defeated, is there some way I'm feeding it and keeping it alive? Surround it. Cut it off. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Ephesians chapter 4 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, see this, put off the old man, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Okay? Let me just help you with your homes. We're talking about this, aren't we? I mean, folks, man, I just pray, preacher, pray for my children and pray for my grandchildren, pray for my children, pray for our marriage. Okay, we have been. Let me ask you this. If me and my wife walked in your home right now, went through every drawer and every cupboard, looked at every magazine, and saw what was, you know, on your DVDs, I mean, listen, are you serious? Okay, you know what separation from what putting off the old man? Get rid of the garbage. I mean, those new Christians of the book of Acts, when they got saved, you know what they did? They went home, they had books on curious arts, and they bonfired them. Okay? Don't tell me you want delivered, and then you've got all this stuff in your home that's given the devil a place at the table. Okay, and I'm talking about, preacher, I'm going to tell you, this is why I warn people not to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They'd hear crazy stuff like this. Crazy stuff like getting the garbage out of your house. I mean, it's about time that we start opening the Bible and believing it for what it says. Okay, I mean, boy, Lord, our marriage needs help. Well, what is it that you keep funneling into the marriage situation? Does the devil have a place at the table? Preacher, we're wrestling with our kids, then what is it that you are allowing them to have access to that's given the devil a place in their life? And so what we have to do is we have to say, okay, if we're going to beat this Jericho, first of all, I'm going to get up in the mountains and I'm going to find the unseen captain. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to surround this thing and I am cutting things off. I'm not going to say that stronghold needs to be defeated and yet find a way to secretly funnel what I say I want victory over. Boy, this is good for us. Number three, obey God's plan for defeating your satanic stronghold. Now, verse 2 through 5 is the plan that the Lord lays out. 2, 3, 4, 5. Not a long plan, but it's important that the details are followed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho. Now, let me just first of all say this. God wants you to have victory over that stronghold. And he has the power to give it into your hand. But you've got to obey him. You've got to listen to what he says. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with their trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straightway before him. Now, watch this. God came down to Joshua and said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you detailed instruction on how to defeat this satanic stronghold, but you have to obey it. Okay, I'm going to ask you, if Joshua walked down out of that meeting with a cavalier attitude on his way down thinking this plan really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I really don't see why it ought to take a week, and what's the whole thing about walking around once a day and we're not allowed to say anything, And that's what we do. Well, I just don't understand why this is a big deal. I just don't understand why that's a big deal. I don't understand why God commanded us to do it this way. I don't understand why we can't do it a different way, and we can't defeat the strongholds. Here is the secret to victory. Obedience. I don't care if I understand it, don't understand. You know what the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to do? So many Christians are struggling financially. And I know we're in a climate that makes it hard for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But you know why most Christians are struggling financially? They just won't obey God's instruction when it comes to finances. Okay? Step number one, tithe. I didn't make it up. Study it out. It's in the Bible. Yeah, well, listen, what I want to come up with a way to beat this stronghold of financial oppression and not follow God's commandments and come up with a plan. And well, then let me ask you, how's that working for you? Okay. Well, preacher, we can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. God's going to get 10%. Matter of fact, the Bible, read Malachi chapter number 3. He's going to get more than 10%. Not only is he going to take more than he's asked you to give, but he's going to hold back blessings you could have received. You know, I mean, I'll counsel with anybody about anything and see if I can help you. But if you walk in my office and say, we are just in a financial turmoil, a financial mess, my first question is going to be, do you tithe? If you say no, and we can't, and we don't intend to, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to shake hands with you. I'm going to walk over to the door and say, I love you. But there's no way in the world I can help you. Because you will not obey God. Okay? What if Joshua, anybody in here, think that if Joshua would have said, hey, the Lord wants us to do once around 6 days, seems a little extreme, let's do 3. How many of you honestly believe the walls would have fell down? Then why do we think that that satanic stronghold is going to fall down when we live in direct disobedience to the commands of God, and we know we are? We know we are. Okay? So what I'm saying is this, study the Bible. One of the greatest things about the Word of God is God doesn't keep the whole thing about blessings a secret. If you will study everything the Bible says about blessings and blessed, he says, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. He's not a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. He keeps his word. He says, if you do this, you'll bring a curse upon you. Look up the word cursed. Look up the word blessed. Take a concordance. You study it out. Because you're not going to really believe it if I just tell you. You got a Bible. You get a concordance. Study it out. Write all the things down. And start doing them. And you know what? God has given his word. How can he not?
Does this make sense to you? I'm talking about preacher. I can't get past this, and this thing keeps rising up. And all right, go find the unseen captain. You can't do it by yourself. Lay siege. Cut off the supply lines. Number three, obey God's plan for defeating your satanic stronghold. Number four, compass the stronghold daily. Compass the stronghold daily. Now, this is interesting to me. For 6 days, God said, I want you to compass the city round about. Now, what that means is I want you to take a full circle walk around this stronghold every day for 6 days. And he said, no shouting, no singing, no rejoicing, quiet. Just walk around. Now, the priests are going to be blowing the trumpets as you're going, and that's fine. And the ark is going to be there, but besides that, shh. Okay. Those trumpet blowing, by the way, it's a type of praise. Why don't you just take that stronghold and decide every day, I'm going to take this stronghold and I'm going to take time every day to walk all the way around this stronghold and just be quiet. Just me and God. Just look at it. Just ponder it. Just meditate about it. Just think about it. Just claim it. Just tell God, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. You know, folks, there's something about the situation and the circumstance that we see as undefeatable in our life. There's something about you and God just walking around it. Just every day, Lord, I'm going to take another walk with you around this thing, and I want to look at it from all angles, and I want your spirit to teach me something, and what do I need to learn from this? See, a lot of times, God isn't going to bring the walls down until we learn some lessons, until we face some things. That's not done shouting. Okay, there's going to be a shouting time in a minute here, but it's not shouting time yet. It's learning time. It's meditating time. It's thinking time. It's Bible principle time. By the way, folks, and there's so much in this story. Bible says, you know who goes first? The armed men. If you look at progression, armed men, when they're going six times or one time around 6 days, it's the armed men first. Let's check out while I'm walking around. Let me check out the armor of God. Didn't the Bible say that we're to wear, put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the... So while we're walking around, let's check out the armor. We started with the armed men. You know, a lot of times we can't defeat the enemy because we won't put on the armor. I mean, folks, that's a whole teaching there. We could go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and we could teach it out, but study it out. So the armed men went, and after the armed men, there were seven priests carrying what? The ark. And you know what they were doing? Listen, folks, you know what the ark is inside the ark? The inside of the ark is the Ten Commandments. Inside of the ark is a bowl of manna. We're talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about just walk around fuming over it, walking around mad about it. I'm talking about walking around checking myself out. Okay, I tell the Lord I want to beat this thing, but do I even have my armor on? I tell the Lord I want to beat this thing, but I'm not going to until I start following the ark. So what I'm doing is I'm walking around thinking about the Bible and Bible verses and what the Word of God has to say about it. And you know what? God will a lot of times just make you spend some time walking in circles around the stronghold till you check out whether or not you're ready. Are you ready to win the victory if he makes the walls fall down? Are you prepared for the battle? Because the walls fell down, but they still had to go in and they still had to defeat the enemy. You're not going to do that without the armor. Maybe God's leaving that wall up because if he brought it down, it wouldn't be them that got massacred. It'd be you that got massacred. So there's a, man, is this amazing? You've got the armed men. You got the Ark of the Covenant. You got the priests. And by the way, can I say this? While you're walking around there, understand that you've been given the responsibility and the privilege of priesthood. Think about that. Okay, listen, I'm a pastor. I'm not a priest. Well, I am, but not for you. Just for me. So you see, the armed men represents the Christian facing the Do I have the armor on? The ark. Am I really thinking about what the Bible has to say? And then the priest. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Am I going to God? Am I going boldly to the throne of grace? We're talking about this matter of prayer. Isn't it amazing how we go back to the basics? See, God brings Jerichos in our life just to get us to hit reset buttons in the basics of the Christian life. Okay, show me a Christian that's got the armor on. Show me a Christian that is solely dedicated to following the principles and precepts of the Bible. Show me the Christian that's exercising his priesthood by going boldly to the throne of grace, and I will show you some walls that are about to fall. Okay? So these Jericho experiences. Then the Bible talks about the re-reward. Did you see that? The re-reward? And so we had the armed men, and we had the Ark of the Covenant. Then we've got the priests, and then we got the re-reward. And by the way, look it up. You've got the same tools I do. You know what that means? That's called the assembly. Isn't that good? The assembly. Okay? You know what the local New Testament church is? It's the assembly. Okay? Do you really want victory? Woo! Do you really want victory? Preacher, this Jericho thing. Okay, well, I guess you can just not put on the helmet of salvation and beat your head against it. Or you could say, do I have the armor on? Am I committed to the principles and precepts of the Bible? And for a while, I think the Lord just wanted them to walk around it and do some praying, do some thinking, do some meditating. You know one of the great ways to get past the satanic strongholds in your life? Get in the church house. 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 Get your family in church. Center the preaching and teaching of the Bible. Sunday school. Sunday morning. Sunday night. Wednesday night. All of these are a type. Something miraculous is about to happen. Number five, on the seventh day, shout the victory. Now, stay with me here. Well, preacher, it seems like I've been walking around this thing for a long time. And you're right, I need to check out the armor. And you're right, am I really committed to the Ark of the Covenant and what it contains? Am I really willing to focus and obey the precepts and principles of the Bible when it comes to this thing? And you're right. I don't have to go to... By the way, it's okay to get other people to pray with you about it. I'm not against that. But you don't have to have somebody pray for you if you're a Christian. You are a priest. But you know what? Aren't you glad for the assembly? The church house? Preacher, I've been walking around this thing a long time. All right. Walk around it. Walk around it with the Lord. Walk around it again. Every day, compass it. Every day, walk around it. I mean, every day, you ought to have a time where you take a walk around. This didn't take their whole day. Sometime during your day, you ought to walk around that stronghold. Every day, walk around that stronghold, checking yourself out, believing the Bible, thinking and meditating on the Scriptures, exercising your priesthood by praying to God. And by the way, stay in church. Stay with the assembly. Walk around it. Preacher, this kind of seems like it doesn't get me anywhere. Just keep doing it. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep going to church. Keep saying, Lord, show me if I'm missing a piece of the armor. Keep walking around it and walking around. Say, how long do I have to do this? Well, they had to do it 6 days. See, the number seven in the Bible stands for something. The number seven means completion. You know what? God's going to have you walk around this thing until he's completed some things. It may not be 6 days, but there is a seventh day coming. How do I illustrate this? I've been praying about this. One of the blessings, one of the men of God that affected me as a young preacher, young pastor, was an evangelist by the name of Jim Delaschmidt. Anybody here ever hear Jim Delaschmidt preach? Oh, my goodness sakes. I wish we could have a youth rally this fall, fill this room full of teenagers, have Jesus sent Jim Delaschmidt back down to give his testimony from dope to hope. This man founded, listen to me, founded the Hell's Angels chapter in St. Louis. Started it. I mean, every kind of sin and debauchery, every kind of drug and booze, every kind of anything, it literally consumed his life from early teenagers all the way up till he was in his 30s. You talk about satanic strongholds that were built up in his life? But he had something he couldn't get away from. It was called a praying mama. And his mama just would not quit praying for that man. And she called him one day and he said, I just come off of a drinking and a booze and a drug binge. My mom calls me and wants me to come to revival. He said, I started cursing her. I said, I am not coming to revival. Are you kidding me? I don't want anything to do with that blankety blank church. I don't want anything to do with that blankety blank preacher. I'm not going to revival. And she said this, you won't come because you're scared. I wish he was here. I wish I could just have him stand here and tell you this story. And he said, nobody ever told me I'm scared of anything. I ain't scared of nothing. You're scared to come to church. No, I'm not. I'll see you there. He said, then I looked at the phone and thought, oh my goodness sakes, now I got to go. Or she's going to tell everybody in that church that I'm scared. I'm scared of the preacher. So he said, I wish I could tell. He had this beard. He used some kind of a gel, mousse, motor oil. I don't know what he used. He took this big beard and he said, I worked it up and worked it up. And he said, I finally got it where it come up like this into a point like this. He said, I put all of my motorcycle gear and my leather and my tattoos and my cigarettes and fit the whiskey and I'll show them I'm scared of church. And he said, I marched in and plopped down real quick on the back row. He said, man, I had drank on the way and taken drugs on the way. And he said, when that preacher started preaching, every time he'd point his finger at me, he said, I was kind of like in a, and that finger would go, and, I wish he was here to tell the story. Man, God got a hold of his heart that night. Just brought Holy Spirit conviction. The Lord pulled back the blindness. He looked at his life for what it really was. Man stepped out, stumbled up the aisle, fell on his face. Preacher got down, prayed that he got saved. Saved. So we were out eating one day, and I've heard him tell his testimony 3 or 4 times, and I said, Brother Delaschmidt, I just would like some help because I deal with people from time to time that get saved, and they are dealing with drug addictions or alcohol addictions. And boy, he just looked at me like this. He just went, he said, Brother, you talk about a stronghold. He said, by the way, don't judge people, pray for people. There's folks in this room. By the way, I've mentioned some things this morning that maybe you're involved in. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. I'll help you any way I can. I mean this. I'll help you any way I can. But I'm telling you this. There's some things that only God can give you the victory on. And I asked him. I said, well, good night. He started telling me the amount of drugs he was taking every day. I mean, what he was consuming in a week would kill most people. He said, I was so addicted. And he said, here I'm a new Christian. I try to get off of it, and I start going through all of the withdrawals and the craziness. And so I'd get back on him. He said, I'd struggled for a couple months. I just struggled. But here's what he told me. He said, Preacher, he said, I just begin to go to God and say, God, I can't serve you as long as this thing's here. And I can't do this, and I can't beat this. And he said, every day I would pray, and every day I would weep over it. And he said, some days I'd taste a little victory, and some days I'd taste a little disaster. And he said, but I just kept on my face and begging God. I said, how did you win it? He didn't say this, but I'm going to say it. God gave him finally that seventh day. He literally told me, one day I got on my knees, and I am weeping over this stuff. And he said, Preacher, I don't know how to tell you. All I know is this. God told me, I'm taking it. You don't have to worry about it. He said, I stood up on my feet from that day, and not one time since then have I had to worry about being tempted by booze or alcohol or drugs. He said, God just gave me the seventh day. He said, I got up and started shouting, come on. There was a lot of weeping before he got to shout. There was a lot of days of just compassing the stronghold and crying out to God. There's a lot of days of just opening the Bible and say, God, I know the truth is in here, and I know you want to help me. And folks, I don't know how to tell you this except that God just makes you walk around it for a while sometimes. And I've been there in my Christian life. I came across, have come up to strongholds, and it's just like the biggest thing, and I'll never get past it. And you know what? You can go talk to everybody you want to, but at some point you just got to start walking around it and claiming it for God and making sure you got the armor on and make sure that you're exercising your priesthood and making sure you're opening the Bible and just walk around it and weep over it and beg it and claim it. And then all of a sudden, there's that seventh day and the walls come down. Don't give up. Don't quit. Bitterness, listen to me, is worse than booze. It'll eat you from the inside out. Anger, envy, and jealousy, worse than booze. I'm not for booze. But a lot of times, sanctified Christians that would never go buy a six-pack are dealing with stuff that's more destructive in your life than if you were on heroin. Now, I just can't. Well, as long as you say that, I'm sure you can't. Why don't you try this? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, this thing's big. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, God sometimes just wants us to spend the 6 days before he'll give us the shouting day. But whatever it is in your life, with God's help, you can win it. You can overcome it. You can do it. You can beat it. First of all, go find that unseen captain, because you're not going to get it done without him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the study of Jericho. Thank you for the Bible principles that we learn. Lord, there's so much more to this story. But Lord, we got the walls down. There's other things to teach and there's other things we can learn, but Lord, I pray for that person that's sitting in the church here, and there's a satanic stronghold. It may be a sin. It may be just a circumstance of life. And maybe, Lord, the honest truth is they have been compassionate about. Lord, give them patience. Don't let their faith falter. May they trust in you. May they give you their life. May they claim that stronghold, dear God. Claim the victory. Lord, give them a shouting day. Give them a day pretty soon where they can say, you know what? The thing that I thought I never could get past, God got me past it. The very thing I thought I could never get over, God allowed me to get over it. The very thing, sin I couldn't beat, with God's help, I beat it. Lord, I think about Rahab. Because Joshua was willing to trust God and get victory over a satanic stronghold, he was able to deliver somebody that faced a different satanic stronghold. Lord, what we need in the Church of Jesus Christ is saints, older saints, that have seen their Jerichos, that you've given the victory, where we can point some of these new Christians to and say, hey, you know what? They had to face that. God gave them the victory. Hey, go talk to so-and-so. You know what? They were where you are. God gave them the victory. Hey, go sit down with Sister so-and-so. She had something very similar going on in her life 20 years ago. God gave her the victory. I think, Lord, of the glory we could bring to your name and the honor we could bring to your name and the help we could be to other people if we just not give up. Help us, Lord. Help each one as we face our satanic strongholds. We pray these things in Jesus' name.